Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Well, good morning, everyone. Yeah, we are interactive this morning. You're allowed to say you're doing great. Or not? We doing good? Yeah? Good, good, good. All right, let me tell you about a couple of things before I get started, and then we'll just get those out of the way and get on to the sermon. May 1st, Wednesday night, we have our monthly prayer night here. So come pray. It's a great time together. No agenda other than praying and praying. That's it. So come for that May 1st, Wednesday night. We do that every month on the first Wednesday. And then Friday, May 3rd, we're having our family movie night. And it is going to, we're going to see Kung Fu Panda. Two? Four? One of them. How many are there? Anyway, the most recent Kung Fu Panda. How about that? So come for that Friday night. All the goodies that are along with it. Popcorn, drinks, candy. All the good stuff. So come for that. All right. So we're going to get into this sermon. You know, if you've been here with us, we've been in a series that we're calling Renew, and we're going to continue with that. We're focused on our mindsets and the things that we think about, right? We're thinking about what we think about. We're talking about what we think about. And we're really tying this all to Romans 12:2, which is kind of a theme verse for the year as we're discerning God's voice, to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So we're looking to have our minds renewed, right, and to be transformed. And so many things that I think hold us back and get in our way and really are a hindrance to us is what do we think about ourselves and what do we think about who God made when he made us. And I think we so often really, this may not be the right word, but it's almost offensive to think that we think of ourselves so lowly, and we're created in God's image. He created us, but yet we tend to want to like think that we're not good enough, that we're not enough, that we're too this or too that, not tall enough, not thin enough. God created us the way we are, and so he wants us to think about ourselves as his creation and as his people who are worthy of his calling, the calling that's on our lives. And so, you know, really, it's so important, the things that we think to ourselves, the words that we speak to ourselves, right? And so we want to just continue talking about that this week and for the next couple of weeks as we go through this Renew series, and we've become transformed by the renewing of our minds. But it's an, I think the kids are having fun. Sounds like it. That's good. I love to hear the kids. We're being transformed though, right? It's an ongoing thing. It's not something that we just do and be, oh, check that one off. No, we're continually being transformed by renewing our minds, thinking about what we think about. You know, a couple of weeks we talked about doing the thing that you would do. Doing the thing that you would do to, if you want to be one who is considered one who's a prayer warrior, what do you do then? You pray, right? If you want to be somebody who is like in Scripture and knows the Word, what do? You read the Word. If you want to be someone who's considered generous and who you think of yourself as generous, what do you want to do? Be generous, right? To do the thing that we could do. And then last week we talked about Christ is in me. And what? I am enough, yes. You're enough to rake the whole yard, yes. I got that report last week. Yeah. So let's just say that one together because you were a little weak on it. Christ is in me. I am enough. I am enough. Yes, you are. With Christ in us, we have to have that first part, right, before we want to say the second part. Christ is in me, I am enough. All right, how many let's take a little poll here. Do we have any Celtics fans in the room? Couple? Yeah. You've been watching the Celtics as they entered the playoffs this year. They played a few playoffs games. We do that as a family. We, if the Celtics are on, very likely that you're going to see Kathy and Jake and me sitting around the room and watching the game. Watching the game. And we watched them last year in the playoffs. I know the playoffs have just started. They're a couple of games in. Last year, we were so disappointed, right? They struggled through the playoffs. They were one of the best teams record-wise in the league, but they struggled in the playoffs, and they didn't even make it to the finals. We were so disappointed, right? And the team was disappointed, I'm sure. I mean, imagine the disappointment we feel. What if you were on the team? How disappointed. There was so much hype around them. There was so much hope. There was so much expectations, and yet they fell short, right? And so this year, let's fast forward, and the team's even better. They won 64 regular season games out of 82. That's not many losses. They won 64 games, and the expectations are huge now as we enter the playoffs, right? Currently, they're playing Miami, the team who knocked them out of the playoffs last year in the conference finals, and they're ahead 2-1. Celtics are leading the series 2-1. Yeah, so they're doing well. But here's the thing. Do you think the Celtics players are really spending a lot of time worried and concerned about last year's failure or last year's shortcoming? I don't think so. I think, you know, I don't think that they're replaying those things in their mind, that the missed shots or the fouls or the turnovers in last year's games. I think they've moved forward, right? They're looking forward to this year. And I believe that this year's success depends on them moving forward beyond last year's disappointments, right? This year's success requires them to move beyond the disappointments from last year. They have to put last year away. They have to put the frustrations behind them, the mistakes, and focus on the task at hand, winning the next game and the next one and then the next one. Only 14 more wins before they can be called champions. 14 wins, one at a time, though, right? Looking forward. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get stuck in the past. I get stuck in the past a lot. It's really not that hard for me. I don't know about you. Maybe you're a little better at it than I am, but it's not hard for me to kind of get stuck back where I was. That dumb thing that I said yesterday that just keeps rolling through my mind. The moment this week when I snapped at Kathy when I really shouldn't have. Get beyond those things. The thing that maybe you heard someone say something about you and you just can't get beyond it. You get stuck in the past. Or maybe there's projects and plans that you had in the past and you were so excited about them. But ultimately they fell through. And we get stuck thinking about those things and the thought cycle in our mind, right? If we didn't do it, we fell short. Oh, I said that stupid thing yesterday. Oh, I really shouldn't have said that to Kathy. That wasn't very nice of me. We get stuck there so easily. It's so easy to let things like that get to us. And then they continue to cycle through our minds, discouraging and creating self-rejection in us. Almost we choose like, oh, I wish I wasn't. I didn't do that. I'm such a horrible person, you know, and it's okay to reflect on our mistakes of the past. It's okay to learn from mistakes in the past, but we can't get stuck there. We can't get stuck, whether it's guilt that keeps us there or shame or grief or disappointment. So many times we get stuck in those situations and we just don't move forward. And then we turn around and it's a week later, a month later, a year later, a decade later, and we're still stuck in that situation where we were. And that's where we're looking at this week's mindset, and that's where this week's mindset comes from. And it says that with God, there's always a way, and by faith, I will find it. Rain in. With God, there's a way, and by faith, I will find it. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we're never going to miss what we used to have. It's not going to mean those things. It's not going to mean that we need to be nervous about our future. It's just that we need to always know that with God there is a way, and by faith, We're going to find it. It doesn't mean that we'll never feel like we're losing the game. It means that we'll be willing to leave the past behind and press on. Leave the past behind and press on. Man, if we could just get that thought in our mindset daily, leave the past behind and press on. The victory can come from embracing our capacity to change and to shift and to pivot, to reset, to let go of what's behind and embrace what's next. We tell you, I think every week, if not, it's almost every week, the best is yet to come. And we tell you that for one reason and one reason only, because we firmly believe it, that as we look at where we've been, as we look where we're going, that God's very best for us is in front of us. It's not behind us. Those things that were so good back in the day, they were good back in the day, and we love that, and we cherish those memories, but we can't be stuck there. Whether it's good or bad or whatever's happened, we've got to look forward and say, yes, God, with you, the best is yet to come. With your favor on my life, the best is yet to come. So we've been looking a little bit throughout this series of sermons about on the story of Moses, right? We've talked about Moses quite a few times, and you know, he led his people, let my people go. Remember the movie? He led him through the wilderness to the promised land. But you know, we remember Moses didn't make it into the promised land. He didn't make it in. God took him there, and he showed him from the mountaintop the view of the promised land and said, this is it, Moses. This is the covenant. This is the promise that I have for you. But because of Moses' sin in the past, he couldn't go in. And God had told Moses that he wouldn't go in. So it wasn't a surprise to him. Moses had told the people of Israel that he wasn't going to make it into the promised land. He led them there. He led them right to the precipice there of the promised land. And the story in Deuteronomy 34 is the story of the death of Moses, and it talks about him as Israel had reached the border of the promised land. They had reached the area where they could certainly go into the land, and they were in this place called the Plains of Moab. The Plains of Moab. And God took Moses to the top of this mountain there, and he showed him the land. He showed him the promised land all in front of him, and how beautiful it was, and see it from a distance. This is the land, Moses. This is the land that the people, my people, Israel, are going to inhabit. But he took Moses there, and that's where Moses died, on that mountain. Moses had lived 120 years. He was 120 years old, and God took him to this mountain and showed him this great vision that he had promised him. And then he passed away. God took his life, and God buried him in a place that nobody knows where, right? In Deuteronomy 34, it says that they buried him in the valley in the land of Moab opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. 120 years old. So there he was on the mountain. Can you imagine the people of Israel, their leader who had led them for 40 years through the desert, who had given them so much leadership? He had told them that God wasn't going to let him lead them into the promised land. He had given them that warning. They knew that, but I'm guessing that they still had a hard time coming to grips with the fact that he wasn't coming down from that mountain. He had gone up the mountains before, right, to get the Ten Commandments, and he had always come back. But here he was in this land of Moab, and he goes up this mountain, the Mount Nebo, and he never comes back because God ended his life there. You know, Israel, I'm sure they thought that they needed Moses, right? At least in their mind, they thought, oh, yes, we've got to have this Moses. He's our leader. Moses was the person who led them through the Red Sea to food from heaven, right? He was the person who got water from a rock. Moses spoke to God on their behalf. There was only one Moses, right? There was only one. Don't you think that even as they mourned for Moses, they were looking for him too, looking for him to come back? God, if there's any way to just bring Moses back to us, we need Moses. We need him. And then we get to Deuteronomy 34 and verse 8, and it talks about Moses passing and Moses being buried and 120 years old. But verse 8 says, and the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. They wept for Moses for 30 days. The Bible says that the people mourned for him for 30 days of mourning and grief. Now, the normal time of grieving for this culture, that the Israelite culture, and for that time, it was a week. They would mourn for someone for a week. But Moses was special, right? He was legendary. Moses was the goat. So they prayed and mourned for him for a month, a full month, 30 days. But Moses was no more. At some point, they had to accept the fact that Moses wasn't coming back. He wasn't coming back. Those days, the good old days of Moses leading us, were done. They had to come to that decision point. They had to come to that moment of decision, and with the promised land on the horizon and their future and their inheritance, they were looking forward to this promised land that was ahead. But in order to step into what was next, they had to leave behind what had happened. In order to move forward, they had to leave behind what had happened. And let me tell you that's not easy. That is not easy for us. It wasn't easy for Israel, and it's not easy for us. I mean, how long does it take us in seasons of transition to accept that something is never going to be like it was? Something's never going to be like it was. Too often we just always want to try to make things what they were. We want to go back in our minds to the way things were, to the good old days. Last summer, when we took a trip to Tennessee, to where I grew up, and to see our family there, and I had the opportunity to go to lunch with a couple of guys that I went to high school with. And we talked about the good old days and how much fun we had in high school, and the great things that we thought we were doing, and our great sports careers. And I firmly believe that as I get, the older I get, the better I was, right? We talk about it, yeah. Yeah, well, those stories, they just get better and better each year. But we can't go back. That's why I guess we can embellish the stories, because we don't have to prove it, right? And now, even as I'm getting older now, it's like, oh, sometimes I just missed the old days, right? Baseball season has started. And so much baseball has changed over the last few years. It's hard to keep up with it. It's not even the same game almost. They have pitch clocks and rule changes, different attitudes. I haven't even gotten used to the designated hitter. Yeah, I still like real baseball in the National League, where they let the pitchers bat. So what can I do? I have to make a decision, right? I can either decide to be grumpy about that, or be grumpy about the changes in baseball, or I can decide to enjoy it in its current state and move forward. To let go of the good old days. But we all have these seasons of transition in our lives where things change. And sometimes they're a lot more personal than baseball. And they're a lot harder than a designated hitter rule. But we come to these seasons of transitions where things change. And we just aren't sure of what's coming up. What's next? And it can be frightening to us at these times. It can be scary. We can be scared, and we can think, what if this thing changes and it never is like it was before? What if it changes and I don't like it as much as I liked it before? What are these seasons of transitions that we come to? What if we aren't going to like what's ahead of us? So for us, all of us today, let's look forward and let's not give up. You know how a lot of those videos that we watch on YouTube, they'll start out with a wait for it caption, right? Because they know we have like a 2-second attention span, and we need to wait for the good stuff, right? We got to wait for the good stuff to happen. And so for all of us today, by faith, let's wait for it. And let's see what God has in store for us and what God is doing. Let me tell you what. No matter where you are in your life, no matter where you are in your story, God has so much more for your story than where you are now. and where you've been. Whether you've been in good times or whether you've been in bad times, God has so much for you in store. The best is yet to come. So by faith, let's wait for it. Let's see what he's doing. There's so much more to our story, to your story. You might be at the end of a chapter, but God is still writing the book. The chapters come and chapters go, but God is writing the book. So let's not close our heart to that. Let's not close our minds to the fact that God is still at work in our lives. No matter what decision point we're at, no matter what transition point we're at, no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we've had to transition from in the past to, God is writing our story. He's got his favor on us. In the immortal words of the band Journey, don't stop believing. In life, we have, you know, some of the characters in our story, they're going to exit from one chapter to the next. They're going to exit, and sometimes conditions are going to change, circumstances are going to change, and some of these are hard. I'm not going to lie to you. Some of these are hard. Some of these are painful changes, painful transitions in our lives. People come, people go. There will be seasons of loss and seasons of grief. Remember that the death of Moses, though, a season of loss, a season of grief, it wasn't the end of the dream. It wasn't the end of the promise that God had given the Israelites. Maybe for us today, the change in our circumstances, the change in our life, maybe for some of us it was a change from 12, 15 years ago that we're still stuck in. Maybe that today is the day to decide that dream of the future, the dream of what's to come, is far greater than what we left behind. That God is doing something in us, God is doing something through us that leads us beyond that place where we got stuck. We're still doing that 30 days of mourning that Israel was doing, except maybe we're doing it 30 years later, 30 months later. God is making room for what's happening next. God is making room for what's happening next. Kathy and I, we've seen this as pastors. We've seen people who have been at part of Joy Church and have decided to leave, sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for reasons that we just don't understand. And it's hard. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around it sometimes. It's hurtful, and we grieve and we mourn because of people who come into our life for a season or for a chapter, and the chapter ends and they move along. But we can't get stuck there. We can't be stuck there. We have to move forward. We can't be stuck in where we were. And now I'm not trying to blow a bunch of toxic positivity your way. I don't want to give you like a fake fix for real pain, because those things happen. But I do want to encourage you to evaluate your perspective of change. Evaluate your perspective of losses. Evaluate the feelings you have when things aren't what they used to be, when the good old days are changing. The pain is real. The grief is valid. I mean, King Solomon, back in the book of Ecclesiastes, reminds us, right, that there is a time to grieve. We all have that time to grieve, and we need that time to grieve, and I encourage you to take that time to grieve. But if God allows something to be taken away from us, he's probably adding something back to us or in us. The scripture from Deuteronomy for today says, Israel grieved until the time of weeping and mourning was over. They grieved until the time of weeping and mourning was over. They spent 1 month mourning Moses in Moab. Try to say that five times. A month mourning Moses in Moab, right? That's a lot of Mo's. But notice it doesn't say that the feeling of mourning was over. It doesn't say that the feelings had changed, but the time of mourning was over. The time was over. It's not meant to be cruel. God's not telling us to just get up and get over it and move forward. He's not a cruel God. He loves us and he cares for us. And he knows that our feelings and our emotions are important and they matter. They come from him as well, right? We're created in his image. So those emotions and those feelings that we have matter. They're important. But eventually, at the right time, mourning needed to give away for Israel. They needed to give, this time of mourning needed to end so that they could find movement. Mourning had to end to give way to movement. They had to go from no mo to now move. From no mo to now move. The season changed. And for some of us, you know, maybe you're in a no mo season now. Maybe you're in a season of mourning and you're in a season where you feel stuck. And I'm afraid that for a lot of us, that season might have lasted a lot more than 30 days. It might have lasted for 20 years or 30 years. Is it time to move forward? Is it time to move forward even though you're mourning and missing what was? Those feelings of mourning and missing are natural. They're normal. They're, like I said, God gives us emotions and he gives us feelings and those things that the mourning that we have and the grieving, that's real stuff. But we can't get stuck holding on to the past. A past that needs to rest in peace on a mountain somewhere. A past that needs to rest in peace. Jesus said, and this one sounds harsh from Jesus, right? Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. It sounds harsh. Matthew 8:22. In other words, though, Jesus, I think what Jesus was saying was, don't let what's dead stop you from living. Don't let that thing that died, don't let that friendship that died stop you from living. Don't let that designated hitter stop you from living. Maybe it's time to move on, to move forward out of Moab, to stop looking for a Moses that isn't coming back. And I know some of these words can sound harsh and some of them can sound like uncaring and unempathetic. But we need to stop looking for a Moses that isn't coming back. Stop reliving a season that was awesome and amazing and we have such great memories. But it's over now. I mean, think of it in this way. COVID. You remember COVID? You remember that? Yeah, it happened, right? And things changed. And how many of us are still saying, oh, remember the days before COVID when it was so good? Remember those days before COVID? Remember when we had more people here because of COVID? Those days are gone. Those days are gone. Look at the seats. If you have an empty seat next to you, look at it. Are you comfortable in that spot where you have a little cushion on the side? Or would you rather have somebody in there who needs Jesus? A friend of yours who needs to find Jesus and hear about the gospel? Or maybe that's the person that needs to be in the seat for you. Maybe it'll be a little uncomfortable because maybe, who knows, maybe these people will look a little different from us. Maybe they'll think a little different from us. But they need the gospel and they need to hear about Jesus, the one who came to them and lived for them and died for them and was resurrected to overcome the grave for them. If there's a seat next to you, don't get too comfortable. Find somebody to fill it up. Let's start sitting like this in church, like on an airplane or something, right? We'll spread the chairs out a little bit. COVID happened. It's over. Let's move forward. Relationship that ended and you keep waiting for that person to come back. I'm sorry to say it, but that relationship most likely is over and we can move forward. We have our time of mourning. The time of mourning has come. The feelings are still there. The sadness is still there. The grieving is still there, but we can move on. Maybe it's time to move out of Moab. To stop looking for a Moses that isn't coming back. To stop reliving seasons of life that were so awesome, but they're over. To stop waiting for that person to come and apologize for hurting you. How many of us get stuck because we're mad at somebody about something they said about us 8 years ago? And I'm not going to do anything until they come and apologize. Guess what? They've forgotten all about it. They have forgotten all about it. And so should we. Move forward. Move on. Maybe it's time to stop, you know, to stop fantasizing over a romance that didn't work out. You've mourned long enough. Now it's time. The time has come for mourning to end. to move forward. And by the way, the month of mourning, it's a figurative thing, right? If someone, let's say, you know, you're driving to church in your new Ford F-350 and, you know, somebody opens the door and gives you a little ding. Well, I hope you don't need a full month to mourn that. Some of us, maybe, but I hope not. But if you lost a loved one, then you might not ever get over it. You might not ever get over it. And I'm not saying that you need to. You'll carry that loss forever because it was someone so important to you, someone that you cared so much about. I mean, it may not hurt as badly over time. I know for me and for Kathy, we've experienced loss in the last couple of years. We both have lost our moms. And it hurt, and we grieved, and we mourned, and it still hurts, and we still miss them, and we still grieve. But we don't stay stuck there. We know that we have to move forward. We have to move forward. Psalm 30 says, "Weeping may last for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." Weeping may last for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. That hurt may last for more than a night. The pain might be there for more than a night. But when the time to weep is over, joy comes in the morning. It's a promise from God. Joy comes in the morning. Moving forward with tear-stained faces. Forward with unanswered questions. Forward with things that we will not ever understand the why behind them. But we move forward and by faith know that God has something for us. Forward, remembering that God has a plan for us. And by faith we'll find it. That God has a plan for us and by faith we will find it. And this story in Deuteronomy 34, it doesn't end right there with the death of Moses. The very next verse says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom." Now Joshua. Notice those first two words. Now Joshua. God moved from no mo to now Joshua. He was moving them forward. For every no mo in your life, there is a now Joshua that God has been developing in your life. For every no-mo you've grieved over, God is saying, now move forward into the good gift I have for you. When you see no more Moses, God says, now there is a Joshua. When you see an ending, God is making a way. When you see a no way, God says, now watch me. Now watch me make a way. All it takes is one little comma to change it from it's over now to it's over now. It's over now. What's next? Has the voice inside your head been telling you that you're finished? Has the voice inside your head been telling you that you're stuck in the past and that you're done? God's best days for you are in the past. God's best days for you are all done because that thing happened, or maybe you did that thing and God's just up. I'm going to put you on the shelf. Do you get those thoughts in your head? Do you get that little voice inside you that tells you that? Whose voice is that? Whose voice is that? Do you think it's God's voice? The God who forgave Peter for betraying him? The God who moved Paul beyond his past as a murderer of Christians? Do you think that's who is telling you that you're done? The God who corrected Jonah's disobedience and set him on a new path? Do you think that's the voice that's telling you you're done? The God who forgave David, an adulterer and a murderer, and made him a man after his own heart? Do you think that's the voice that is God's voice telling you that you're all done? Let me tell you, if you're still breathing, I was talking with someone earlier, if you're still vertical and you're not horizontal, God is not done. God's not done. This stuff has happened. The grief has happened. The mourning has happened. The bad things in our life have happened. And we need to move forward. We can mourn for a time, but when the time of mourning is done, what do? We move forward. Satan tells you you're finished, and God says you're not. Satan tells you you're finished and God says you're not. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not done yet. That wasn't very enthusiastic. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're not done yet. You're not. God says you're not finished because he's not finished working in you. As long as you're breathing, he's not done. We've got to know this in our spirit. We've got to know this in our heart that it doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter what we've done. If we're still breathing, if God's still putting air and breath in our lungs and giving us the ability to exhale and inhale, he's not done with us. Joy Church, there is so much more to come. There are people in this community who need to find Jesus. I believe 100% in heaven. And if I believe 100% in heaven, then I think I have to 100% believe that there's a real hell. And here we are with empty seats, comfortable, because we've got a little space around us. Who are you bringing? Who are you going to tell about Jesus? That's a different sermon. Sorry, I took a little side trip there. But God's not done. Maybe that's one of the things he does have for you, is to bring that person that you, maybe it could be a person that you love so much, a person who's so close to you, to bring them to Jesus and to let them hear about his love and mercy and grace. Maybe they've always heard of a God who is angry and wrathful and wanting to squash them like a bug. And maybe what they need to do is see how God works in your life and to hear how God loves them and how God is graceful to us and how God cares for us and how he created us in his image. And so he loves us and he wants us to have a relationship with us. So think of it this way. You're not just going through a crisis. You're in a cocoon, right? You're transforming. You're transforming in there by the renewal of your mind, by the things that you think about yourself, by the things that you think about who God has made you to be. You're coming out of the cocoon with your wings, right? With wisdom, with the will of God, with Christ in you. You are enough coming out of the cocoon. Paul wrote it this way. He said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Do you know what was behind for Paul? What he's talking about? He killed Christians. He persecuted Christians. He hated Christians. He hated Jesus. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. It wasn't that just he was kind of a bad guy and said some bad things. That's what Paul is talking about when he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. It doesn't matter if what is behind was the good old days that you loved so much and something happened and those good old days are gone, or if those days behind are days where you were struggling and you living a life that you're maybe even feel ashamed of now. And let me tell you this, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that shame that we have felt in the past is gone. Somebody needs to hear that today. That shame that we felt in the past is gone. It's gone. Say that to yourself. Say that in your spirit, in your heart, that shame that I feel, that shame that I have felt is gone. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, yes. So for you and for me, what do you need to leave behind so you can move ahead? What do you need to leave behind so you can move ahead? Because with God, there is always a way, and by faith, we will find it. With God, there's always a way, and by faith, I will find it. What is it in your life that you need to mourn for a season and then leave buried on the mountain? Maybe that season needs to be done. Maybe you've been elongating it and making it more than you really think it should. And maybe it's time today to leave that season behind, to leave that dead thing on the mountaintop and move forward in life, the life that Jesus has given us, the life abundant that Jesus promises us. And we here we are hanging on to something that we lost 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 days ago. And Jesus is sitting here saying, no, I have life for you and life to the full, life in abundance. And we're, oh, no, I want to hold on to this thing that I lost. Oh, I wish I could have it back. And Jesus says, no, move forward with me. Come into all that I have for you. We sing the song, it's going to be wild. It's going to be great. Moving forward with Jesus, getting beyond those things that get stuck in our mind. And it's not dishonoring to the past to leave the past behind. You're not being disloyal if you leave the past behind. But especially, I know on relational things and sometimes even with people passing on, we think if we move on, we're being disloyal to them. We're being disloyal to what has happened to the people who have been in our lives. And that's not it at all. That's not it at all. Moses is still being honored today. But Israel had to move on. Had to move on. So don't think that you're being untrue to yourself or to someone else by moving forward. That's not what it's all about. Because you can do both. You can honor the past. You can honor those who have been in your life. You can be loyal to those who have been in your life and still move forward into all that God has for you. And I'm thinking in a room this full and in a room with this many people in it, there's probably some folks here who might need some prayer for things that they're stuck on. Might need to pray that God gives you the inner strength. He gives you the renewal of your mind to move beyond where you are. To leave those things buried on a mountaintop. And to move forward into what God is calling you to. With God, there's always a way. There's always a way forward. There's always a way to move. And by faith, we can find that way. So I want to just take a minute here of prayer. The worship team can come up. Just take a minute. I want to pray for you. Matter of fact, if you don't mind, if you're in that spot and you feel like there's something that's making you stuck, something that's in your mind, something that you need to leave on that mountaintop and bury on that mountaintop, if you would just quickly raise your hand and I'll pray with you, pray for you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that you give us the ability to move forward. God, that we know that there's a time to mourn, there's a time to grieve, but you've given us this time to move forward. You've given us this call today to move forward, to know that with you there's a way. And God, give us faith to find it, faith to move forward. So God, for those who raise their hands, I pray, God, a special anointing on them, a special imparting of your spirit in their life, Lord, that they can see that it's okay. It's okay to move forward. The past is the past. The things happened. But it's okay to move forward. To move forward in your favor. To move forward in your will. To move forward in all that you have ahead for us. So God, I pray that even those of us who didn't raise our hand, Lord, that you would give us this moment to inspect our hearts, to inspect our minds, and to consider maybe we are stuck somewhere. Maybe there are some things that we need to leave dead and buried on that mountain. Maybe that shame we need to leave dead and buried on that mountain. Maybe that mistake we need to leave dead and buried on that mountain. Lord, as hard as it is, maybe that relationship we need to leave dead and buried on that mountain. Knowing, God, that you're working in us, that you're working through us to give us more. That from everything that you remove from us, God, that there's room for you to do more in us. We ask that, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. 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 What can it look like if we move from no mo to now move? what lies ahead. Think about it. Let your mind's eye think about what's ahead. Give yourself that vision of your life as God has this plan for you, and you're in that plan. You're a part of that plan. Imagine your future. Imagine all God has for you. Hopes and dreams, the things that He's put in your heart, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Amen. All those things that are in our future that God has for us. So what's your now, Joshua? What's your moving on thing? What doors are opening for you? What people are coming into your life? What faith is stirring in your heart? What challenges are waiting ahead? What are the things that God has for you? What calling has God awakened in your heart? Even as you consider these things of leaving the past behind and moving forward, what does that do in your heart to awaken you? Think about those new things. And what is the new thing? What is the now thing? The next thing that God is doing in you? Now move. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this time together. We thank You, God, that You move in our hearts. You move in our lives. We love You, Lord. We faithfully believe that God has a plan for us, has a way for us. By faith, we're going to find it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Joy Church, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm going to say it, even though I said it earlier, the best is yet to come. Have a great week. We love you guys. And we'll see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.